I'm Robert De Niro, and you're listening to episode 102 of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything with your host, Melanie.
Hello, and welcome to episode 102 of This Blonde Can Talk About Anything. I'm your host, Melanie, with two L's because the spelling of your name doesn't change from one week to the next. I want to say a big thanks to Robert De Niro for introducing the show. Obviously, that wasn't the real Robert De Niro. And if it was, I would hope that he wouldn't come on here with such an angry demeanor, but that is not to say that the real deal will not be here someday, soon-ish. I don't know. I'm just putting things out into the universe. So, if I sound a little strange today, bear in mind that I am recording on the mini mic. I love this thing and hate it at the same time because sometimes it records really smoothly and other times it records every little sound I make. Like if I'm breathing, for example. This week's episode is a little different from what you're used to. First of all, shout out to Robert De Niro. The reason why I opened using him is because when I get stressed out and upset and yada yada, I generally will turn to his work as a means to get my own aggression out and things like that. So this week alone, I watched Zero Day, highly recommend, and also went to the theater to watch The Alto Nights, in which Robert plays two different characters, and I thought he was absolutely amazing. Also last week, I got to see Mandy Patinkin live, something I've been wanting to do for most of my life, perform live, sing live anyway. And he sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow in both English and Yiddish, and I loved it. And I think that this is an experience that everyone should have. A couple things before I get started. Number one, if you're wondering why I'm using AI introductions at the moment, it is because I am working on bumper music and completely overhauling the show, to be honest. It will still be the same show that you know and love, but I feel like it needs a little bit of an update considering it's turning like, well, I mean, been around since 2021, so it's turning three. Was it 2021 or 2020? I can't remember. So it's turning like four or something. I don't know. Or it's already turned because I started it in October. Jesus. I started it in January. That being said, I've only gotten to 2 years of content, meaning 52 consecutive weeks would be 2 years. It is what it is, but I'm here now, and so that's why I have been experimenting with the AI, and the reason that I am currently using mini mic instead of the standard computer mic is I am in the middle of learning lines for like two auditions, and I've had quite a few auditions this week, all of which is great. I'm so happy to be able to say those things. I'm so grateful to have these opportunities. So I'm recording this episode in the middle of like, just taking a break from one set of sides to the next. And this is not the content that you've come to expect from me, but here we are. So what I mean by that is that I generally like to keep the show light and airy. I like to talk about the arts and I like to have other artists on here to speak with me. And I generally don't, outside of, you know, talking about mental health and the time that I was assaulted, I try to keep the stories about my personal life at a minimum because there are a lot of people out there who listen to this podcast who don't necessarily like me, so they don't really need to know the ins and outs of my life. But at the same time, I don't want to deny my audience of knowing the truth about who I am and what I'm up to at any given time. So this episode is actually about toxic friendships. I never thought that I would be making an episode about something like this because I never really considered any of my friends toxic. I mean, we all have those people who come into our life for like a very short period of time and we have a lot of fun together, we laugh together, and then they go away and it's like life goes on. I have a lot of people like that have come and gone in my life, and I'm sure you do too. And then we have those friends that we see every once in a while, and when we see them, it's like we're so happy to see them, but when they leave, we're also happy to see them go. And then we have friends like my amazing friend Natasha, who lives so far away, who gets here and it's like the happiest day of the year for me and leaves. And I'm so sad and miss her. And we talk 100 times every day because that is what true friendship is. So we're going to dive deep. I was going to say dig deep. Dig deep, dive deep, whatever. I might cry. I might get emotional. I don't know. But I've come to learn that toxic friends often seem to be the most real friends we have. So let me set the stage. If you've been listening to this show for any period of time, you know that during Mental Health Awareness Month, I always talk about a very dear friend of mine who lost his life to suicide. That is a friendship that there are no words to describe what it meant to me. And losing that person was very, very difficult. Now, in terms of that person, they were no longer themselves for quite some time before the suicide occurred. So there was a period where I was grieving for a friend who was still alive, but it wasn't like grieving for a person who was no longer my friend. This is a new experience. So I have grieved a friend who was still alive who just was not themselves anymore, and then eventually went on to grieve that person because they were actually gone. And I think unknowingly, I started to look for that person in everyone that I would meet, especially men, because it was a male friend. And just to preface this, it was just a friendship. It was very platonic. It was not romantic in any sort of way. But this was the person that if I was going to end my life, they were going to save it, and in fact did. So I started looking for that friend in just about everyone I met. And for the most part, it didn't take long for me to realize that the person that I wanted to be that friend wasn't. And that's okay. No bad blood and no ill will or anything like that. But I did meet someone maybe 4 or 5 years ago, something like that, and he became that person for me. And he would say things to me like, oh, I want to be the same kind of friend that I don't want to say his name is was to you. I want to be that person. And I believed him because he made it sound so good. And again, this was not a romantic relationship. This is a person who is married. Not, there is nothing going on between us. So it's not easy for me to tell this story, but I know there are a lot of other people going through it. So we just want you guys to know that you're not alone. Basically, this is like a story of betrayal, and it's not by like a stranger or somebody that I know doesn't like me. It's not even an acquaintance. It's not even a friend. It was like a best friend, somebody that I considered like my own family. And this person has me sitting here right now thinking, like, the saying, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But like, what happens when your enemy is your friend? Like, I don't want to name names. I'm sure he's probably going to tune into this because I've For my mental health, for the sake of my mental health, I have had to block this person in every capacity, like social media, real life, phone numbers, everything gone. We just cannot be chatting anymore. I almost don't have anything to say. So I'm not going to name names, like I said, but so we met a few years ago through my cousin, who they worked together. And right from like immediately when we met, we just clicked, like one of those fast friendships. And I have many, don't take this as me saying fast friendships are not good friendships, because that's not at all what I'm saying. Because I have many friends. Natasha, who I just mentioned not 5 minutes ago, is somebody who I became friends with instantly and who remains my friend to this day, and who I can do anything with, talk about anything with, is what I mean. Sorry, I'm a little tired. What else is new, right? Insomnia strikes again. Okay. So, we clicked from the beginning. And I fully trusted this person. And as time went on, I learned that we had very similar aspirations in life, which is not uncommon for me and my friends. I'm an actor, and I have many friends who are also actors. And you will hear me promoting their work. For example, on last week or the week before, I talked about my friend Grant Harvey, who is starring alongside Ben Affleck and John Bernthal in The Accountant 2. I just mentioned it again. Why? Because I'm proud that this person is my friend. I'm so proud of who that he is as a person, like a human being, and what he's done as an actor, because I've been on the journey with that person for almost a decade. And I'm just happy to see him receiving his proverbial flowers. So anyway, back to the story. This person and I had very similar goals and dreams and things that aligned. And I thought that in some way what we were doing is building these crazy dreams together. But what was really happening was I'm significantly more charismatic. I'm not gonna deny the good qualities that I have. I'm a very charismatic person. If I want something, I will usually find a way to go out there and get it. If there is somebody that I want to know that does not know that I exist, I will find a way to make sure that they find out that I exist. What that leads to ultimately is up to them, but I will go out of my way to, for example, I wanted to meet Zac Efron. I did that. I'm just using Zac as an example. He is just the example. There are others. there are many others. And that's down to, you know, who I am as a person. I wanted Tom Brady to know I exist. So I made sure that that happened. To what end? Who knows? But he knows that I exist. And so I thought that my friend and I, what we were doing was building these, our respective dreams, like alongside each other. But last week, I discovered that what was really happening is this person was studying me and preparing to build his own version of, you know, the life that I want and he wants, because we want very similar things in life. And something happened last week where this person, I made a connection with someone that this person also knew. And they didn't like that I made that connection, because I have a connection to someone that they wanted to be connected with. And I did, in my defense, I did try to help them connect with that person. But things were said behind my back to that person, and that person decided that they didn't want to be involved with my now former friend. That is not a decision I can make. I had never said anything negative about him to the person in question. It's just that they had been deceptive behind my back a few times, and the person that they were hoping to get access to was slightly older and felt, well, not slightly, like older than my dad, and and didn't feel that they should continue to talk to this person because they didn't feel that person had my best interest at heart. And this happened a few times. And the older person told me multiple times, this person is not your friend. This person is doing this. You should not trust this person. And I didn't listen, because it's like, you know, when your parents tell you not to do something or that somebody's not good for you, you do the opposite. Well, we have that kind of relationship. So I decided to rebel against him and not listen. And here we are, like 2 or 3 years later, since that happened, since I was deceived, you know, multiple times, since I was, you know, talked about behind my back to somebody who I love and who also loves me and has my best, you know, intentions at heart always. And I didn't listen. And I should have, because if I would have listened when I was being deceived in the first place, I would not be sitting here now heartbroken. So this quote-unquote betrayal happened like last Wednesday. It's been not Wednesday that just passed, but the Wednesday before. The night before, I went to see Mandy Patinkin, and I really couldn't sleep because I was overthinking. because the access that he took from me from someone else that I had just built a connection with who didn't know me that well enough to, I guess they didn't know me well enough to, if somebody that they knew well told them something about me, didn't know me well enough to go off that judgment. And when I asked my friend, hey, did you say something to so-and-so? They didn't answer and just left me unread, which tells me everything I need to know. And then I hit this little button called block caller. But I spent the whole night overthinking and just being so sad because I could not understand what I had done to person B. Person A being the friend, person B being the person that they didn't want me to have access to. Somebody in our industry. Anywho, not really important. But then I find myself again sitting in the position where I'm grieving a friend who's still alive. But it's not because they're unwell or because they're getting help or whatever. It's because they're kind of a shitty person. And so we're not friends anymore, but my heart is still very broken over this. And what this has taught me is that toxic friends seem to be like the most real friends that you can have, which is fucking mind-blowing to me, because I'm the kind of person that if it's not coming out of my mouth, my face will say it. If I don't like you, I will not pretend to like you. If I don't like you, I will not use you. What I will do is wish you well and stay away from you. And I recommend that for anyone. If you have a friend who is like my former friend, who's, you know, handing out backhanded compliments and then, you know, throwing in a just joking, like, that's not a friend. And I wish that it hadn't taken me this experience to figure that out. You know, that person was never really there for me, but always, always, always expected that I would be there for them. And I was. I lost many, many, many countless hours of sleep listening to them talk about their problems. Now, keep in mind, this person is older than me and married, and so should be able to figure out a lot of these problems on their own because I don't have the life experience to help them with their marriage. But anyway, and I'm not a counselor. I just like to talk. But yeah, he always expected me to be there. But then when I needed someone to listen, it hurts me to say this, but I can't truthfully say that he ever really did. And that hurts because he was there when he needed me only. He tolerated me as a resource, if you will. You know, he was too busy to support me and would always just be too busy for me. And I was too blind to see it because, as I said, I was too busy looking for the friend that I lost and everyone that I met. And I probably still subconsciously am doing that. And I really thought this person was that. I respected them. And I hate myself for this, and I'm trying not to, you know, cry. I even told this person that the way they are with their family reminded me of, and I meant it when I said it, reminded me of my grandpa. And now I don't see that anymore. That's not the person that I see anymore. But telling somebody that they remind me of my grandpa is probably the highest honor I can bestow upon any person. And I'm sorry to my grandpa for comparing him to someone who had time for me when it was convenient for them, because my grandpa always had time for me. And I'm just hurt, if you couldn't tell. Yeah. If you have friends who are there when they need you only and not when you need them, you need to do like I did. You need to block them on all social medias, block them from texting and calling. You just block them from your life, because keeping them in your life is going to make you sick, like I just did to myself for a week and 2 days. I've been making myself sick thinking about the fact that this person tolerated me in an effort to get access to resources that I had, whether they be people or otherwise. But the second that somebody who they consider a resource, now keep in mind the other person that they have told things about me that I don't know what they've said, but I know they've said something confirmed by a third party. And I'm not naming names, but I know they've said something and I don't know what it is and I don't want to know. But he expected my resources to align with him. And then as soon as I get, you know, sort of a relationship with somebody that he considers a resource, he freaks out. And the reason for that is he doesn't want to share. He's, you know, he wants to compete. I don't. I am not interested in competing with my friends. If I have to compete with my friends for a role, honestly, I hope I get it. But then I hope that they have another role for my friend, because that's who I am. I'm somebody who is always cheering for others and wants everybody to win. But I am having to learn that not everybody is like me. My friend who, you know, took his life used to tell me all the time, you love everything too much. And if you expect people to love you at the same level that you love them, you're going to be very disappointed. And he used to make me angry with that. And if I could go outside right now and scream at the sky and think that he would hear me, I would do it. You're right, you know, but he was right. And I can't believe that like a several year friendship is ending over someone who got so afraid of whatever power he thinks I have when it came to this person that he connected, which is just somebody who I was hoping to collaborate with. See, here's a secret about, you know, the entertainment industry. It's cutthroat. But the people at the top are collaborating. The people at the bottom are competing. I am not interested in competing with anyone. The only person I'm competing with is the version of myself that I was yesterday, or the version of myself that I was 15 minutes ago. Actually, I'm trying to compete with the version of myself that didn't have a randomly swollen, puffy under eye maybe 6 hours ago. That was just for comic relief. I needed to break up the monotony. No, but seriously, I don't want to compete with anyone. If I have to compete with you, like, are we friends? Friendly competition is fine, but if Tom Brady has taught me anything, it's that teamwork makes the dream work. So if myself and another actor are working together to make a film come to life, and I'm talking like an indie film, something we wrote, that is community, that is collaboration, and that's a win right there. But my wonderful friend tolerated me for resources and was too fucking busy to support me and whatever endeavors I had going on anyway, and led me on with, you know, certain things, certain promises, if you will. But the biggest one was the promise of loyalty. Like, that's, I don't think that's too much to ask these days. I am someone who doesn't like to be lied to. If you lie to me, I'm probably not going to forgive you. I forgave this person more times than I can count for disrespecting me, for being dishonest with me, for going behind my back to speak to the person that he considers a resource and I consider essentially family, and being so jealous that his friend, I guess we'll say, was interested in my existence. There's room for everyone. Like, I want to collaborate with everyone. So the fact that he did that showed me that he wasn't a friend. And I didn't think that, like, I've heard a lot of horror stories about friends that use each other, but I've never been in that situation. Like, yes, catty little friendships that you have when you're in like sixth grade and you don't speak to that person anymore. And if you saw them on the street today, you probably wouldn't recognize them. I've had that. We've all had that. Even friends from high school, some of them, you know, I was joint at the hip with for 4 years and we don't talk today, but it's not because they used me or something went terribly wrong. We just grew apart for 4 years. We grew together and then, you know, high school ended and we grew apart because we wanted different lives. I don't wish any of those people malice. I'm happy for them. Like, one of them owns a store. Congratulations. I'm so happy for you. One of them, the same one, actually, she's a published author. So happy for you. Some of them are, you know, stay-at-home moms. Whatever makes them happy. I'm so happy that they got the life that they wanted. It just wasn't life I wanted. So I actually had to leave my hometown to pursue the life that I wanted. I chose myself over any friendship because at the end of the day, I think that outside of my family, the only person who should be making choices for me is me. But somehow I lost that along the way. You have to understand that when my friend ended his life, I think he took a lot of the very best parts of me with him because I loved him without conditions and he loved me back without conditions. And it's like a dream friendship. It's like you never expect to find it. And, you know, there's a saying, you only meet your once in a lifetime friend once in a lifetime. And I'm starting to think that that might be true, even though I'm still looking for him in everyone I meet. Not every friend is meant to be on your entire journey. And I knew that subconsciously, I knew it. But I like to think that everyone's just going to come along and it's going to be a great, happy family. But no, I'm learning things. I'm learning things that I wish I never had to learn about people that I would have moved heaven and earth for. And it's really, really sad. And it's not just me. Because of, you know, the pain that this really stupid, quite frankly, interaction, if you will, situation is better, caused, my cousin got upset and, you know, called out this person and was like, why are you doing this to her? She's been through enough and whatnot. And this person responded, I can't even believe I'm saying this on the podcast. I can't believe I'm saying this on any type of media that's going to exist on the internet forever. This person responded to my cousin's text of concern about me by sending a photo of their butthole. Like, you are 40. That is a lot older than me, and you do not need to be exposing your butthole to another man who doesn't want to see it. Now, let's just make this clear that my cousin is also 40. But still, and my cousin also has a history of doing everything for this person. They were friends as well. So we both feel pretty used right now, but I think I'm taking it much harder. And what this all culminated in is just me being really fucking sad, like literally depressed for the last week because I cared so much about someone who cared so little about me. And I am not above admitting that it hurts. So if you're listening, hurting me was your intention and you did it. And I just want to say I'm proud of you for doing what you thought was the right thing for you. But you can get to the same place without hurting anybody. You can climb the same ladder without kicking someone down a rung. Or you can just take the elevator. And when you get to the top, send the elevator back down for your friends so that they can come up. It's really not that complicated. So I guess in ending what might have been a very fruitful, creative friendship, by terminating that connection after one day, I'm not going to say who it is. It's somebody who's very respected in our industry. And they met, I'm not sure how they met, and I don't want to know. But you know, I just don't see what did you gain by ending that? This could have been a very, like I said, a very fruitful friendship for myself and the other person, but it could have been beneficial to everyone because we could have all collaborated and made something really great. And that's why I don't understand competition when collaboration is so much more interesting and fun. You can try something and it may not work. You know, I've collaborated with people who, because of creative differences and whatnot, we had to terminate the project. And in some cases, the relationship did not survive, but there was no bad blood. I think about, you know, those people often, and I wish them so much joy and I wish them really the very best. And I especially wish them tons of success throughout their career, because I know that every single actor, musician, painter, poet, whatever artist of any kind, each one has something so unique to offer. And when we all collaborate, imagine when we put all of these unique things together, what a beautiful piece of art we might create. But that cannot happen when someone is behaving out of jealousy, or out of, like I said, like they're using me, or this person used me as a way to, oh my God, like social climb, I guess you can say, but to study me like that. You can try, but you will never replicate my charisma the same way that I could never replicate Happy Belated Birthday by One Day to the 101-year-old dead Marlon Brando. I could never replicate his magic, because it wasn't mine. It was his. It was given to him. My charisma and my drive are mine uniquely, and you can study it, but you will never be able to replicate it. The same way as that person, my former friend, has his own things that are great about him. But I can't, and I don't want to replicate them. I don't want to, you know, be anything other than who I am. And sometimes that's like a basket case. I'm a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, what's most important to me is that I can go to sleep knowing that I've been a loyal friend, that I've been an honest friend, that I've been a true friend, and that when I tell people I'm proud of them and I'm rooting for them, I actually mean it. Exhibit A, Grant Harvey, who I mentioned earlier. You could message Grant at any given time and he would tell you that I have been supporting him since the day we met. And we actually had a conversation not that long ago where I jokingly said, okay, Mr. Superstar, try not to forget, you know, who was there for you since the beginning. And he immediately was like, believe me, I never forgot. And it's like, those are the friendships that I want to have. Those are the friendships that I need to maintain, because those are the friendships that are going to get me through the next phase of my life. And by that, I mean, like, I've been clapping for a while, which means it's about to be time for people to start clapping for me. And I know a friend like Mr. Grant Harvey, please see his film, The Accountant 2, in theaters April 25th. I know he'll be the first one clapping, because I've always clapped for him. But I never clapped for him as much as I clapped for my friend, who is no longer my friend. I don't want to say he's my enemy, because I don't have those. But for my former friend, I clapped probably the loudest, and I believed so much in what they wanted to do with their life. I think I believed in it more than they did. And I think I may have fed their ego a little bit too much, even though I was genuine in everything that I said. Other people would, you know, see him do things and they would say, I don't really think he has it, or I don't think he's good, or I don't think he's convincing. And I would always argue, because people have probably said the same thing about me, and that's okay, because I know I have it. Nobody knows what it is, but I know I have it, or I never would have ended up in Quentin Tarantino's car. That's how I know I have it. So at the end of the day, am I sad that this connection to someone new that I met like a week ago ended within 24 hours? Yes, because that person didn't get to make a judgment of me for themselves. They went off of what somebody else said. And I would really see, I say this, but I don't mean it. I would really like to know what was said, but at the same time, I wouldn't, because for a number of years, I considered this other person my friend. And in the end, they were not. So let this be a lesson to all of you. If you have friends who have they've deceived you more than once. Once is the cutoff, guys. Once, one time, that's it. You're not overthinking. Your feelings are valid. If you're going to, you know, find yourself grieving for someone that's no longer your friend, it sucks. But you might have to do it. It might be the best thing for you. If you're getting a lot of backhanded compliments or just jokings and all that stuff, cut it out. Like, it's like a disease, cut it out. If they aren't there for you, but expect they'll be there for them, it's time to move on. If they don't listen when you need to be listened to, move on. If they compete, move on. Like I said, if these are people who are only there when they need you, move on. Don't do like I did. Don't put up with friends that aren't friends at all. You deserve more than to be tolerated for resources or otherwise. There's no such thing as too busy. If you want to support someone, you will make time. And somebody very important to me said that to me once and then proved it to me when they only had like 15 minutes to see me and stretched it out to 20. They made time. They didn't have time, but they made time. Again, every friend is not meant to be on your entire journey, you know, reason, season, lifetime. I'm just shocked if you couldn't tell. It's been a lot of rambling, but I needed to say these things and get them out of my system. And I thought, who better to tell it to than this beautiful group of people who listens to my podcast, this wonderful audience of people who, many of which are artists. If you have friends like this, you don't need enemies. So just cut it off. Like a bad disease, just cut it off. It isn't worth it. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your peace. And I let it take my peace for a very long time. Even my mom would be like, you know what? I don't like this person for you. And I would be like, oh, you know, whatever. He's just going through something, whatever. Because we all go through stuff. I get that, you know, but this is, I have many great friends who I could call up right now who would listen to me ramble. I have many great friends who live in different states who I can call up right now and say, hey, I'm coming. Can I stay with you? Like, I don't have to actually ask because I'll say, hey, I'm coming to visit. And they will say, oh, you can stay at my place. I have one friend, my very first friend that I met in LA. Name is Mark. And we've been friends for more than 10 years. Can't believe I'm saying that. And he let me sleep. We met on like social media through, I was doing some work for him, actually, his client, James Maslow of Big Time Rush. And when I was in LA, he didn't even know me. And he literally gave me the keys to his home and let me sleep on the couch. And I could have taken everything he owned and left. And he never would have seen me again. He didn't even know if the name I was giving him was my real name. But like now that's my couch. Like I'm always like, hey, dude, can I come and crash on my couch? Like that's the kind of friendship that we have. And I'm grateful for that. He listens to me. He is the friend who sometimes tells me the things that I don't want to hear but need to. And we've butted heads and sometimes gone, you know, couple of weeks without talking, but we always come back to each other because the friendship is genuine and real. He was watching Robert De Niro in Zero Day and he sent me a text and he's like, why are you not in this? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't even audition for it, but I wish I was in it. But he just believes in me so much. And he's in the industry, but he's in the business side of it. He's not an actor or anything like that. He's not an artist. But he's a good friend, and I wish more people could do that. Tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. Understand that it's going to hurt me. Say it anyway, and then we just move on, and that's it. We're done. And then we stay friends at the end of the day, but unfortunately, that's not the case. So in closing, I'm a very charismatic person, and I will always be charismatic. I'm a very tenacious person. I will always be tenacious. I'm very driven. I will always be driven. I'm loud. You will never be louder than me. And that's okay. I will always be this person. And I'm not going to change just because I had one friendship go to hell, turn to hell, whatever. But I have a strong sneaking suspicion that the person I'm talking about will be listening to this. And I just want to say, I wish you the very best in life and in your career. I hope you do well. I sincerely hope you do well, even though you have a mentality that is, I'd like to see you do well, just never better than me. I don't know how to think that way. It's just not who I am. It's not in my DNA. Anyway, I think that is enough negativity for one night. So if you are feeling down in the dumps after listening to this podcast, or it reminds you of your own friendships that you should probably end, do it. But if you want to be reminded that strong friendships do exist and you want to laugh, head over to @AllBodyNoBrains, the podcast that I listen to get me through bad days. These girls do not pay me. Emily Wilson and Chloe Richmond, they don't pay me to do this. I love their show. I think they're hilarious. So please don't come here and ask me how much I get paid to... this is actually a question that I've gotten in DMs. Do not come in my DMs again and ask me how much they pay me to listen to and watch their podcast. I do it because I want to. If you really want to giggle, get on Netflix and watch Everybody's Live with John Mulaney. It airs live around the world without delay on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. However, you can watch all the episodes that you missed anytime on demand. So if you need a laugh, head over there. And keep in mind when you do that the people that you see on stage, like John and Richard Kind and Pete Davidson, and I'm blanking out because there's so many great guests, Wanda Sykes, Henry Winkler, keep in mind that behind the scenes, there are a lot of people, producers, crew, etc., who are working very hard to make this show run smoothly so that you can escape life for 1 hour. Oh, and don't forget, Samo is on the show as well. So tune into that. Again, Everybody's Live with John Mulaney, previously known as Everybody's in LA with John Mulaney. Check out the show. And like I said, keep in mind that there are lots of producers, lots of crew, so many people that are working behind the scenes to make the show run and make you laugh and make you escape reality. And I want to thank them because this week they helped me escape reality big time. So I think that's going to be it for me. This is a relatively short podcast. Make sure you check out my sponsors. Starting with Michael Solberg Family Wines on Instagram @MICHAELSULBERGFAMILYWINES. I don't know why it took so many pauses. Check them out. Their website is on the Instagram page, but is currently not in my head. You can also check out Huxwear @HUXWEAR, the camel toe eliminating, moisture wicking underwear made by women for women. It's a great company. The ladies who created it are so smart and so driven and just gorgeous, gorgeous women, just gorgeous people. I love them. Denise and Jen. There's plenty of other staff, but those are the two that I know. And last but not least, Snack Conscious, the protein balls that actually taste good @SNACKCONCIOUS on Instagram. And of course, our X account has been growing a lot. We're at like 56,000, I think, but this is my fault. The Instagram, I started like less than a year ago, so it's only at 4,000. If you are not, please follow @ThisBlondeCanTalk on Instagram. That is where you will see archived footage from previous guests, as well as future guests, like archived footage from future guests, from guests who have been on recently. They'll be there on the future. I'm tired. that's where you'll see archived footage as well as new footage from new guests, such as my most recent guest, Tom Bergeron. It's just a lot of fun getting on on there on Mondays and posting archived footage, and on Thursdays revisiting certain interviews and like thinking, what was I thinking saying that or whatever, just laughing. So that is the only place that you will ever get video content from the recorded podcasts. So make sure you follow. Again, that's on Instagram, This Blonde Can Talk. We are also on the Butterfly app, Butterfly Social, I want to say, Blue Sky Social, sorry. And again, This Blonde Can Talk. Most of you follow my personal, so keep doing that. And leave me your recommendations of who you would like to hear from and what you would like to hear me talk about. That's just about all I've got for you this week. Next week, I will be back, hopefully with a very special guest, pending schedule. Have a great weekend, and because it's Friday night, and also have a great week, because I don't know what day you're going to listen to this on. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
This isn't actually Robert De Niro, and this show is in no way affiliated with him. We can't be friends.